California condo sells for about half of its value versus pre-pandemic times, indicating a tanking real estate market in California. Is it tanking or is this just San Francisco? Let's get into it. Here we go. And when I read this headline, I thought, that can't be. So what the media does is the media tries to pick the absolute worst scenario. Let's hone in on that one. Let's hone in on that one comparable sale. Now, this isn't indicative of the entire California real estate market. It's not indicative of the national real estate market, but it is indicative of the tenderloin real estate market in San Francisco. And San Francisco's got a couple of markets there, the downtown financial core and the tenderloin type area. Things are not going swimmingly. So that's what this story is about. A condominium in downtown San Francisco, an area that's been rocked by several problems in the past years. Just one or two, more than two. It's got several. It was sold last week for about half of its purchase price in 2019, as shown on real estate marketplace Zillow. The property, a two-bedroom, two-bath condo on 1075 Market Street, a five-minute driving distance from Union Square and a three-minute driving distance from the troubled neighborhood of Tenderloin, was listed for sale on Zillow on January 18th for $695,000. After spending months on the market, it was sold on April 8th for $675,000. So a little bit of a drop there. Not terrible. 20 grand, that's not horrible. But that's about half of the price commanded by the condo in late May 2019, when it was sold for $1.25 million. So, before we get going, let me show you where this is located. Okay, here's our subject property here. It's on Market Street. Yeah, one of those iconic addresses in San Francisco. But the real issue is you've got the Tenderloin right here. I mean, this whole area is, you got the UN Plaza is right here. I mean, you are in a tricky area. It's a transitioning area. It's the Tenderloin. You got a bunch of drugged out, whacked out homeless people running around. And this is what you get. So pre-pandemic, May of 2019. So we weren't even in the pandemic yet. Things were still going hot. And then what happened at the beginning of the pandemic, everybody was like, oh, what's going to happen? Is the market just going to absolutely tank? No. The market reacted with interest rates dropping, and we got down into some of those historic interest rates. And then with all the shutdowns and everybody worked from home, people realized, wow, super cheap money out there. I can get way more bang for my buck. And if I'm going to be forced to work from home for God knows how long, all the gyms are shut down, restaurants shut down, I'm doing everything at home, schools are shut down, remote work, remote learning, it's just going to be the greatest time of our lives. People realized, wow, I need a bigger house. I need a better house. I need whatever. Because man, I can afford it because we're not taking vacations. We're not doing all that good stuff. Government's just handing out money left over, hand over fist. It was just a crazy, crazy time. But what my memories are from the real estate market then is that the market had been going pretty strong. They've been going pretty strong. I mean, 2017, 2018, 2019, they were good markets. But then you drop those interest rates and you're just literally putting a whole bunch of gasoline on the fire and watching it just go, right? So what has happened in San Francisco is it's a real reaction to that micro market, meaning you've got crazy people running around on some whacked out drugs, and that hasn't really gone away. And there's been a real stigma of the Tenderloin market area and the financial district in San Francisco, as evidenced by all of Metal Leo's videos closed. He's a YouTuber that walks throughout neighborhoods, in particular in San Francisco, and has highlighted the closures because in San Francisco, a lot of your employment or, by companies that can have their employees work remotely so they don't need all that office space. So San Francisco has the highest commercial office space vacancy in the United States. And so then that kind of translates to, well, don't really need a house that close. to wherever I can walk to these areas, and I don't really want to be in the Tenderloin. So you had this over exuberance in the marketplace before the pandemic. Just things were going crazy, and then they just got even hotter. Now we've come down since the summer of 2022. Interest rates, you know, more than doubled. Just it took people's purchasing power, and it just, you know, all of a sudden, I can't afford to go anywhere. And sellers, same exact thing. If I sell my home, where am I going to go? I don't want a, you know, a $7,000 mortgage on a $900,000 condo. I don't want that. I can't afford that. So let's wait for rates to come down. Well, that that inflation, that transitory inflation, that temporary inflation that we were told about, it, it's been pesky, right? It's been pesky. So that's kind of where we sit. In San Francisco, I think they've been really hit, is my bottom line, especially an individualized market like the Tenderloin. And that's where literally, you know, California has just dumped all their homeless, dumped all their whacked out mental jobs, dumped all of their, you know, undesirables. And you guys stay in this neighborhood, you guys stay here. You know, that's kind of the overall feeling. It's kind of like Skid Row, not as bad as Skid Row, but the Tenderloin has just, you know, historically been, this is what we're doing. So this is hardly an isolated case in the California city. It's according to recent Redfin report. Nearly 20% of home sellers in San Francisco are taking a loss on their sale. All of a sudden, San Francisco is kind of out of vogue, right? People aren't working there in the downtown cores, in close-in areas. They're just, it's not happening. And I don't think it's going to be happening for quite some time. We keep talking about AI coming in, artificial intelligence. It's going to really resurrect the San Francisco real estate market. I don't think there's enough companies out there to take down the, whatever it is, 30 million square feet of space. There's just not going to be a demand for real estate, commercial real estate like that anytime soon. And so the housing markets in areas like that have suffered. They're clearly suffering based on the numbers here. So nearly 20% are taking a loss, over four times more than home sellers at the national level at 4.3%. So on the national level, we've seen a decrease in values. Not a lot, not a ton, and that is because there is such limited supply. You got no supply. We had no supply going into the pandemic, what we thought was no supply. Now, we've really got no supply in the marketplace. And so, you're seeing the effects of those interest rates just, you know, going through the roof, figuratively. We're still, you know, 7% or under. That's a great rate compared to the 18% in the 1980s, right? And I'm trying to break the back of inflation. Remember those times? I vaguely remember them. I didn't even really know what it meant at the time, other than my dad's businesses and, you know, his associates. They were having a tough time. My dad was a builder at the time. My uncle was a builder. And, you know, it was tough times. But they were able to make it through, whereas right now, for the last couple of years, the volume of home sales has dropped significantly. It's just we've got no inventory and then correspondingly no pending sales and then no closed sales. Those numbers have really shrunk because people recognize, I can't afford this. And sellers, where am I going to go? So they're not putting their homes in the market. That is slowly unwinding, but not at a rate that's going to be anything significant until those rates start to drop. And who knows when that'll happen. With the Fed kind of waffling back and forth, well, we got these signs, Are we going to do anything? Are we going to do a June rate cut? Don't know. The odds, you know, Wall Street's betting on that right now. Some 17.8% of homes sold in San Francisco during the 3 months ending on February 29th, 2024, sold at a loss. Okay, so you got 18% of the homes selling at a loss. All right, okay. In the 3 months ending January 31st, the share was at 17.9%. Versus 17.8, its highest level in 11 years and a higher share than any other metro. All right, so, but that's still a far cry from 50% drop, isn't it? Yeah. So what's going on with this condo? This is that condo here. Two bedroom, two bath. It makes me think there's another extenuating circumstance, but I didn't read that in any of the research that I did. I didn't see that. Is it truly, this is this one of those properties? As an appraiser, when you do an appraisal and you're able to squeak out the value on an incredibly high sale. And when you hit that send button, when you're emailing in that report or uploading that report, that PDF document to whatever portal it is you're sending around the country, you hit that and you go, good Lord, I hope we don't have a slowdown anytime soon. Is that bad boy is going to drop. It's going to drop like a lead balloon, right? This is, that's not a good one. I wish I didn't have my name on that appraisal. You're able to support it. And it was probably worth, what was it? 1.25 back in May of 2019. It was probably worth it then. But property values were just so pumped up. It was just overpriced. And that's where downtown San Francisco and San Francisco in general, many of its markets have been impacted, because so many of the companies left and they've moved elsewhere, moved out of California, you know. But San Francisco as a microcosm has had its struggles, and then the Tenderloin even further. So don't think of this as all of California or even all of San Francisco, because it's simply not true. But you've got these individual markets, and the Tenderloin being one. And also, it's a condominium. You're attached, you know, to other housing. Condos during the pandemic did the worst of all, especially kind of high-rise, vertical integrated condos did terribly because nobody wanted to get on an elevator. They might catch the Rona. Oh, no, I haven't got my 33rd booster shot yet. Don't want to hit the elevator and get the Rona from the guy downstairs. He rides the elevator, too. You know, you've got that scenario going on. So, you know, condos all of a sudden, yeah, I don't think so. No, thanks. Not so much. So as of Monday, April 15th, there were a total of 1,336 properties, including single family, multifamily homes, listed for sale on Zillow, 188 of which had a price reduction. Okay. But that is, that's more of a normal market than not. Having price reductions, hey, that's normal. You put it on a little bit high, maybe a little bit more than just a little bit high. And then the market tells you, okay, yeah, no go. All right, dummy, you got to reduce that price. Okay, there we go. Let's drop the 20 grand. We'll see if it sells there. That's what we do in real estate, right? You test high and then bring it down if you have to. Now, I want to tell you a story about something that I always try and bring in stories that have relevance. So I was having a conversation with my son, Kiernan. One of his friends, Alex, good kid, played basketball for University of Washington, big, tall kid. And he's looking to, I think, get married, buy a house, have a kid, just basically fully engage in that whole adulthood. And my son, Kiernan's 31. I assume Alex is about the same. And I've had Alex and his to-be wife on my boat. And they're great folks. But Alex reached out to Kiernan to ask him about, hey, look, checking out this house on Northeast 75th, which is about a mile and a half south of the really hardcore area of Aurora in North Seattle. It's a few miles north of downtown Seattle, more than a few, probably five miles north of downtown Seattle. Alex asked Kiernan to take a look at this house. Hey, what do you think I could get this house for? It's a starter home. It was listed at, I think it was 1.3 million, maybe 1.2 and change, 1.295, something like that. And so Kiernan, in the course of he got back to Alex and kind of told Alex what he thought it would be, but somewhere in that conversation, Kiernan was going to use this as a comparable sale in an appraisal, and he reached out to the listing agent, and the property went from 1.3 wherever it closed for 1.8 million, up $500,000. Now, that's kind of the polar opposite of what we've got going on here in San Francisco. Is the 1.8, is that just a wild anomaly? Yeah, that is. We're not seeing that happen. I mean, it wasn't a great location. It was a cute home. But the problem is, in Seattle, we've literally got no inventory. So many of these markets. And we're seeing that, you know, across the market, across the board here, especially on the east side, stuff that could, on the market for 1.3 goes for 1.5, 1.6. It's just nuts because people are like, oh my gosh, there's a house I can buy even though rates are super high. Let's buy it. But in a situation like this, what we're talking about here, Newsweek is trying to convince us that the entire market is tanked. It hasn't. It hasn't. And it's coming back as we speak because now sellers are recognizing, all right, I got to sell because of this, this, or this. I got to relocate. Need to downsize. You've got a lot of senior citizens sitting on big homes right now. A lot of retired people that are sitting on inventory because where are they going to go? And if they can't pay cash wherever they're going from the proceeds of their home, they're going to have to take out a mortgage. And if you're in your 60s or 70s or 80s, you want to take out a mortgage at 7% when you just had mortgages down at 2.75%? The answer is no. That's a rhetorical question. So that's what we're doing. So on average, the typical homeowner sold their home in San Francisco for $155,500 less than they bought it for. That's mainly because prices have gone back to normal after skyrocketing during the booming years of the pandemic, Redfin writes. And they've gone back to normal. They've had a price. They've had a price improvement. We have improved the price for you. This is a stellar price. This is a stellar price. We need you to just come on and take a look at this. This is amazing. This is the greatest house ever. You will love this house. Drop dead gorgeous. Right. Such nonsense, isn't it? But whatever, right? Home prices in San Francisco, one of the most overvalued metropolitan areas in the country, probably the most because it is the most expensive, right? Have dropped dramatically during the correction of the housing market of late summer 2022 and spring 2023. You know, my research indicates somewhere, you know, 12%, maybe 16% per year, last couple of years, but not 50. So that makes me think, you know, do we have a homeless encampment, you know, in the alleyway here? Is this literally right in that pocket of just, oh my gosh, zombies everywhere? Are we in that area? I don't specifically know, but I believe this condo in San Fran that's dropped by 50% in value, it is suffering from multiple situations. Maybe there's an issue with the homeowners association. Who knows, right? Who knows? Maybe they can't get finance. I don't know. Don't know. But that's not the point. The point is we're reading the story and we're going to get through it. And then you decide. You figure out what you think. Downtown San Francisco has particularly suffered from the combination of a series of post-pandemic challenges. Challenges. I'm concerned. We've got challenges. We need to reimagine. We need to rethink. Including a huge office vacancy rate and a rise in retail theft, which has led to several companies. Several? More than two? Shutting down their branches in the city center. And all this has contributed to properties losing value. I tend to think that it's location on market and the proximity to the Tenderloin area, that is what's driving it down. Because that has not gotten any better, and people have recognized. I think people tolerated it before the pandemic, but during the pandemic, when all the homeless encampments just, you know, proliferated because the CDC said, nope, don't clear out those homeless encampments, might spread the Rona. And what they didn't realize is, you know, homeless encampments are outside, probably the safest place to be. Yeah, even in a tent, right? You get that blowy air coming through. You're not going to get the Rona. That's why so few people in the homeless encampments. We couldn't figure that out, right? This doesn't make any sense. These people should just be dying left and right. And yet they weren't. Outside. While prices modestly bounced back in the city by the bay between summer and fall of last year, they started sliding down again in October of 2023. As of March 31st, according to Zillow, the average San Francisco home value was at 1.29, down by 7.5% compared to the year before. That is a big, big drop relative to what the rest of the nation has done. And some markets are increasing. Home prices have plummeted in all of California between 2023 and 2024. As of March 31st, the average home value in the Golden State was $783,000. Down 44.5% compared to a year before. Something in the math there is incorrect. That's just simply not true. They haven't dropped that much. At the national level, prices were similarly down by 44.4% year on year. No, that's not true. And national level, a few percentage price points is what I would guess based on everything I've read. For an average home value of $354,000. So are we saying an average home value was close to $700,000? No, that's not what we're saying. So, you know, some of these numbers here are clearly there is some kind of reporting issue, or somebody didn't do their math right, or something. I don't know. But the big drop, the one drop that, well, anyway, despite this recent price drop in prices, the cost of buying a home in California remains high due to a chronic lack of inventory, keeping prices up. And San Francisco is still the most expensive real estate market in the nation. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't think it's going to get taken over by any place else anytime soon. Because in the other areas, you know, you got Knob Hill, you got Pacific Heights, you got some of these other areas that aren't impacted by this. They're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. They will have dropped a little bit. They're going to ride out the storm. We've got markets here that have dropped a little bit. But because we have such little supply here, and San Francisco does as well, but they really got whacked with this whole homelessness, you know, zombies walking around, just a crazy situation you've got going on with the Tenderloin. And that is a location issue. That is external obsolescence from the standpoint, you cannot pick up this condo that we're talking about. You can't pick this bad boy up and move it. Therefore, you are stuck in a neighborhood that is just like, what in the world is going on? You are living the purge day in and day out. And I think what's happened is people have recognized there's been so much media coverage of the Tenderloin in general that people are aware of, okay, yeah, maybe that's not the place I want to live. Before the pandemic and all the spotlight got put on some of these areas, before that happened, you know, there's a couple of homeless people walking around. It's not that bad. Yeah, you know, big city crime. But then we've gone through the whole bipping thing, right? Your car gets broken into, break-in in progress. You've got the whole shoplifting thing, just stores getting rocked. This article mentioned Union Square. That's the mall where, you know, just everything has emptied out, closed. Then you've got the downtown core, office space in downtown core, and all the retail space in the downtown core of San Francisco that has also closed down because all those tech companies don't need the space anymore. And there's not enough people in the high rises to support all the retail at street level. And nobody really wants to live in these markets if you don't have stuff going on, right? If all the cool stuff isn't open, all the restaurants, that's the only reason you're going to downtown. How many of you guys tell me, I just don't go into downtown Seattle ever? I went there back in 84 and I've never gone back. But, you know, I get it. It's I'm used to walking around and, you know, look, checking over your shoulder. You got a bunch of nut jobs walking around. You got a bunch of criminals that are whacked out on drugs that are doing who knows what. They're walking around. And the rest of tourists are just like, yeah, this is fine. This looks just fine. There's a lot of people here, you know. Statistically, you're not going to get whacked in Seattle, but if you do, yeah, you don't want to be that statistic, right? Because it could happen. The and I talk about this all the time. The Blade, one of the most dangerous parts, dangerous block between Pike and Pine on 3rd Avenue in downtown Seattle is literally within visual distance. You turn the corner on, I think it's the one to the north, Pike. You turn the corner and you can virtually see the Pike Place Market sign. It's just right there. So you've got millions and millions of tourists that are within like a 2-block radius of just some real criminal activity going. And we just kind of, it's fine. We don't worry about that. The market's far enough away. Just don't walk next to the Blade and you'll be good. Right? You got that whole thing going on. And then the rest of you are like, I'm never going there. I would never go there. I get it. I get it. But I think what you're seeing here is this condo is suffering from a number of things. And most prominently, it was wildly overpriced. You know, maybe got into a bidding war. There was zero, you know, there was zero inventory. Somebody just had to have that condo. You know, property values are going to the moon, aren't they? They're going to the moon. And they did even after that. So that thing went up, 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 and then boom, crashed. So now you're down at, what was it, six something? That's a big drop. That's a big drop. But what I would have you take away from this is, yes, that is a massive drop, but it's not a national deal. It's not even an entire San Francisco deal. It's just simply not. That's not the case. But when you've got one comp, it makes for a pretty good news story, doesn't it? Look at how San Francisco is tanked. That's horrible. And it has. And it has. 30 million square feet or whatever the number is right now of available office space in San Francisco. Is it maybe 35 million square feet? It's some horrifically large number. And a vacancy factor, looking at, you know, getting up to that 40%. So 4 out of every 10 of your office spaces would be empty, closed. That has to, tends to have a little bit of an impact on the surrounding communities. And this condo is one of them. So if you're not commuting into downtown, if you are, you know, if you're just going to be hanging out in the Tenderloin, yeah, you might want to reconsider that. And so that is what has happened, is the marketplace has reconsidered this location, in my opinion. And that's why you've got such a massive loss. Other areas, yeah, there are other cities in California that are having a tough time as well, because people don't want to pay for the income tax. They don't want to pay for all the crazy policy going on. They don't want to pay for the billions being spent on just ridiculous stuff. You know, I'm not going to be able to have a, you know, gas appliances. We're getting rid of all the gas cars, doing all this crazy stuff. People are saying, I'm going to go live in Texas. I'm going to go live in Florida. I'm going to go live in Idaho. I'm going to live anywhere but here. You're seeing a little bit of that as well, on top of all these specific locations. And that's that typically doesn't work out well for real estate pieces. So that is it from me on this one. So is the entire San Francisco market tanking by up to 50%? No. A resounding no. Some of them are, and that's what today's story was on. All right. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for supporting. Love to have you as a subscriber. I don't normally talk about real estate. I talk about all kinds of other stuff. My background's in real estate. So I am more than happy every now and then. So if you guys want to send me real estate stories, but yeah, that's what we're doing. Thanks for being here. We'll catch up in the next one. Bye for now.